Now we turn to another story about employment and race. We head to Silicon Valley, where several technology giants, including Apple and Google, have refused to release data about the makeup and diversity of their workforce. Over 2 years, the Mercury News, based in San Jose, sought to learn the demographic makeup of the workforce at the 15 largest technology companies in the area. 9 agreed to allow the Labor Department to provide that data, while the other 6 refused. All of which begs the question, how diverse are the nation's top technology firms and why don't they want the public to know? Joining us to talk more about this is technology commentator Mario Armstrong. He hosts the technology talk program Digital Cafe at member station WYPR in Baltimore, and he joins us from there now. Welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Now, while the Mercury News was unable to get specifics from those 6 companies, in fact, Hewlett-Packard also fought the release of the data, but they ultimately lost that. The paper was able to report some overall trends. They reported that Blacks and Latinos lost ground in Silicon Valley between 2000 and 2008. Let me just read this paragraph.
Okay.
It says
sure.
that of the combined workforce of 10 of the Valley's largest companies, including Hewlett-Packard, Intel, Cisco, eBay, and AMD, while the collective workforce of those 10 companies grew by 16% between 1999 and 2005, an already small percentage of Black workers dropped by 16%, while the number of Hispanic workers declined by 11%, by 2005, only about 2,200 of the 30,000 Silicon Valley-based workers at those 10 companies were Black or Hispanic. Why do you think that might be?
Well, I think, you know, I think the issue is there's always been this problem of pipeline. And what I mean by that is finding the talent in a diverse way. And when I say diversity, I'm talking accessibility diversity. I'm talking gender and ethnic diversity. And there has been a very vocal problem about how do we find the next competitive pool of talent, and where is this competitive pool of talent, and how do we find it? How do we recruit it? How do we keep them happy? So I think this is an industry problem. I mean, when you look at America's competitiveness, it's going to boil down to whether or not we can compete at the highest levels of technology and innovation. So.
Interesting. For people who are interested in these other groups that you mentioned, including sort of gender and other ethnic groups, I'll just read another graph. The share of women at those 10 companies declined to 33% in 2005 from 37% in 1999. There was also a decline in the share of management level jobs held by women, while the number of white computer workers also dropping after 2000. Asians were the exception. They now make up the majority of workers in computer-related occupations who live in Silicon Valley, although they hold only about 1 out of 6 of the nation's computer-related jobs. So what do you make of it? Mario, you think it's a pipeline issue? Is it a networking issue? What do you think?
I think you're hitting on a couple of problems. Number one, you definitely have the pipeline issue. But number two, bottom line, this industry hasn't become cool in a while. And what I mean by that is you don't have people really pursuing computer science and engineering degrees at the rate that we once had. We don't have the space program or the space battle, if you will, back in the day that really set off this huge curiosity and huge interest into science and tech. You have a lot of women that also feel that the industry hasn't really been as inclusive to them as possible. And we still have to get around stereotypes. We have a lot of young girls and young boys in middle school that think computers are for nerds and nerd isn't cool and geeky is not the right thing. And so we have a stereotypical issue that starts at a very early age that's also part of this problem.
But why would they have lost ground? These groups all had a larger presence in Silicon Valley at the beginning than they do now. Why would that be?
Yeah, you could attribute that to a couple of things. Number one, some of them are so savvy that they're often doing their own thing, which is what I would really like to be able to find, you know, connect the dots. Okay, so we've seen a droppage. We've seen this drop in women at these Silicon Valley companies. Well, did that mean they went to go and spin off their own firms, or are they simply moving laterally to another position at a different company? Well, we don't really have that answer. I've talked to some of these people that obviously are dealing with making these decisions and making these moves, and a lot of women, as well as African Americans and Latinos, are also finding that entrepreneurship is a way for them to do their own thing once they've reached a certain level of their career.
Let's talk about the other issue we wanted to mention, which is the some of the companies refused to give this data. 6 of them initially did, and Hewlett-Packard lost that argument. Google, Apple, Yahoo, Oracle, and Applied Materials. Why wouldn't they want the public to know?
Well, you know, their stated answer has been that they look at this information as something that's competitive. In other words, they don't want their competitors to know what their hiring demographic makeup is. And they feel that that could give other companies competitive advantages, even smaller companies competitive advantages.
How? I mean, it's interesting because the spokesman, Chuck Malloy, a spokesperson for Intel, which contacted the Mercury News to share its employment data after learning of the FOIA request, said that there's nothing to hide in our view. And they just said it was ridiculous to argue that this is a competitive issue. What can help me understand why you think why they think it is?
Well, you know, I don't know if I can, because I actually wish that they would reveal the numbers. I think it's a positive thing to reveal those numbers. I don't totally buy the argument 100%. I will give them a little bit of some wiggle room here in that we are in a very competitive age. A lot of innovation is taking place, and companies are nervous. They're paranoid, really, I think is what it comes down to some degree. I don't think that gives them the excuse to not show us the diversity of makeup, because it's hard for us to understand exactly what type of impact Latinos are making, women are making, African-Americans and other and people that are handicapped or accessibility issues, what type of contributions they're making when we can't even find out what's in those companies. And all of these companies, you know, claim to have, and most do, diversity and inclusion programs. So we know that they're out and about and they actually care about this issue. So it's really weird that they wouldn't just offer that information up easily.
It's also interesting because their marketing is often very diverse. It's among the most diverse. And so that's interesting. Well, Mario, thank you once again.
Well, I appreciate it. Mario, thank you for having me.
Mario Armstrong is a frequent contributor to NPR on technology issues. He's also the host of Digital Cafe, a technology talk program at member station WYPR in Baltimore. And he joined us from there. Mario, thanks again.
Thank you.